Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, in heaven, if somebody says praise the Lord, all heaven shouts out. Amen. Jesus said, you know, we like to read the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, you know, he said, we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we say praise the Lord, hallelujah, we might as well just get on board and shout out. You know, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. And so what a lot of Christians have forgotten is oftentimes the way out of the issue is the praise. Amen. And so we might as well just practice here while we're at church, because if we don't practice here, then we're not going to do it out there. Amen. Because if we won't do it in here where it's easy, we're not going to do it out there where it's hard. Amen. But God has given us all things richly to enjoy. He's given us a good start. Amen. And we want to finish. We want to get in to all that he has for us. Praise the Lord. And doing that, number one, is we find that in praise. I'm so thankful for praise. You know, I remember one time when my daughter was a baby, I was sitting in a chair and she was sitting on the floor right next to me, and she went to tip over, and I reached for her instinctively, and I grabbed her arm real quick. And she let out a yelp, and I knew something wasn't right. And because she couldn't even lift her arm up like past this, and she just cried nonstop for about 2 hours, I think. And I said to my wife, you know, my wife wasn't at home at the time, and she got home, and I said, I think we need to take her down to the emergency room. So we did that. We took her down to the emergency room, and you know, we were sitting in there, and the doctors, you know, obviously could tell something was wrong. She was still crying, and she still couldn't raise her hand up, and we tried to coax her to do it. And everything. But you know, I was sitting there. I'm so thankful for good training. Amen. I'm sitting there, and we got good godly training, praise the Lord, in the word and how to deal with things. And so as we, I got to take this out. This is uncomfortable. I didn't realize. But we didn't realize that, you don't always think about using it until it's time. And so we're sitting there. And it'd been a while. We're in the emergency room, and she was crying and everything still. She hadn't stopped. And I just all of a sudden in my spirit, thank God for the Holy Spirit, but all of a sudden in my spirit, I knew that what do we do? When we've done everything else that we could do, we just start praising God. Amen. And we don't praise God for the trial, but we do praise God in the trial. And as I was my wife and I started praising God and just thanking him for the healing of our daughter. And all of a sudden, just out of the blue, she reaches up into the air all the way up and stopped crying. Yeah. Just like that. Doctor came in, they took her to get x-rays. Of course, nothing was wrong. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, people don't have to believe that if they don't want to, but it did happen. So it spoke to us, didn't it? Amen. And actually this week, the Lord just reminded me of that for something else. And maybe someday I'll share that with you. Praise the Lord. But God is good, and he wants us to get into good things tonight. And I'm glad you're here, because we got a good message. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't you turn with me to Romans 8:14? Praise God. Hallelujah. This scripture is one of the, the whole Bible has changed my life, but this is one that really sticks in my heart. There's been a lot in my heart lately about what this scripture talks about. And I was even saying to my wife the other day, I said, you know, I just feel like I need to keep preaching messages on this. I preached several messages in Mayville, and I think I even preached here about it, but I'm just going to, this isn't the same, this is a little bit different, but I'm going to preach it. I'm going to keep preaching it, because I believe there's more that the Lord wants us to get out of it. Amen. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. Now, today's message is called Led into Peace. Led into Peace. This is an area that so many Christians miss it. Amen. Even the most well-taught, Christians miss God and ultimately miss out, because they have no understanding of what it means to be led. Praise God. God has intended his people to be led. Now, what do we know about being led? If you're going to be led, you have to be willing to be led. Amen. If you're not willing, you know, somebody who's guiding you isn't going to drag you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But this is where so many Christians, so let's just get into it. Amen. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Praise God. Now, what do we know about God? We know that, that doesn't mean that nobody can be a child of God. But we know that there's something special about knowing our place and how we can tell who we are. Amen? One of the biggest places to know that is in our leading. Because God doesn't lead us down roads that end in chaos. God doesn't lead us down roads that end in failure. God doesn't lead us in roads that end in sickness and disease. God doesn't lead us in roads that end in poverty. God doesn't lead us down roads that end in being lost forever. God always leads us to a higher thing. Amen. The Bible tells us that we go from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As many as this scripture changed my life, and it changes my life even now, even today, even this week, it's changed my life. And we're going to see this more as we go on today, because we're going to talk about a little bit about what Jesus said about it. But we're going to talk about what it means to be led. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we're in Romans 8:14. Let's go back up to a couple verses, and let's go to verse 12, and we're going to read through verse 17. Praise God. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Amen? We are debtors. Praise the Lord. We owe something. Amen? Jesus Christ made us free, but we owe him something. Amen? And see, so many Christians, they have this idea that they can become a Christian or that they are Christians, so now that they can just live any way they want. And this is one area where so many Christians miss it, because you can't just live any way that you want. We are debtors to live according to the Spirit. Amen? Not to live according to the flesh. And it goes on in verse 13, it says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You know, I'm seeking the Lord. And the Lord gave me some interesting, really interesting, this morning as I woke up, gave me some really interesting direction on addiction. This is one of the biggest areas of where people miss it. And this is how addiction happens. I myself was addicted to things, so I understand exactly what it's like to live in that. But this is what it is, because addiction is all about the flesh. Christians who live according to the flesh, they will die. Now, what does that word die mean? Yes, it's talking about physical death, because we know the wages of sin is death. But it's talking about death in all areas of our lives. It's not just death as a physical death. You know, there's many people, and I've said this before, there's many people that are living lives that aren't really living. They're living lives that look more like dying. Oh, who wants to live like that? Who wants to spend time like that? You don't. You know, I remember my past life. I lived in such a way that was always in upheaval. There was always trial. There was always tribulation. Now listen, there's always going to be trial and tribulation, but there was never any answer to it. There was never any fix for it. There was never any way out. I was always hopeless. I would constantly be in a state of depression. That wasn't living. I spent the first three quarters of my life there, really, until we got into church and started hearing the word and started knowing that, listen, we don't have to live there anymore. God didn't intend us. You know, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ, so we should look like we have the mind of Christ. Jesus didn't walk around depressed. He walked around knowing. In fact, everything Jesus did, he was sure of what he did. That's why Jesus could walk on water, amen, because he was sure that he could. Because he was led by the Spirit, amen? And we want to be people led by the Spirit too, but we got to understand something, that if we are led by our flesh solely, we can never experience all God has for us. Because the Spirit will not lead us according to the flesh. He is going to lead us according to the Spirit on the inside of us, amen? That's why a lot of times people don't understand like things we do. In the family churches, sometimes people are like, well, why don't you do this program or why don't you do that program? Because I'm not led to. I do what I'm led to do. I'm not judging anybody else. You can be led to do whatever you want to do and do it. Praise the Lord. That's between you and God. But I just don't do something because we want to get numbers up. I don't just do something because we want something to look a certain way. I don't just do something according to God. I seek the Lord and say, Lord, what do you have for us to do? Lord, what do you want us to do? And see, when you do things, when you live life like that, you learn that everything you do is effective. Everything you do, even silly stuff in life, little things are effective, amen? Praise the Lord. Decorating your house can be effective. How do I know? Because we've been running this left and right. We've been trying to decorate things here and there, and for some reason something wasn't working out. So I just step back and let the Spirit lead me. Hallelujah. The Spirit will lead us in all things. We're going to see this in the Word, amen? It's always important to present the Word, because the Word is where the truth is. Praise God. So going on, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Praise God. Do you know why, back to addictions, do you know why there are such a high rate of people that never get out of addiction? Because they never learn how to put to death the deeds of the body through the Spirit. They never learn how to be Spirit-led. That is the key. If you want to stop the addiction, you get addicts in churches like this, get them hooked up, get them faithful, and I'm going to tell you something, that stuff will fall off of them. Amen? Praise the Lord. I've seen it happen. Happened in my life. Amen? Praise God. So if you, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. See, this is an amazing statement. And so often we could just read over this and not even really get the fullness of what God's saying here. We didn't receive fear, a spirit of fear. You know, and it was at 1 Timothy, it tells us that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. So if we got a spirit of fear about us, if there's fear on us, that's not of God. Listen, fear comes about in a lot of ways. Some people think they have a healing problem when really what they got is a fear problem. Well, you know, my mother was sick, my father was sick. They had this disease, so I'm going to have it. That's fear. How are we going to pay our bills? That's fear. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, don't worry about any of that stuff. See, when you follow God, God's going to lead you into all things. But most people don't even follow God. Most of His people don't follow Him. They never seek God. They never ask God, Lord, what church do you want me to be in? They never ask God, Lord, Lord, where do you want me to serve? God, they never ask God, Lord, who do you want me to reach today? What offering do you want me to give in? What do you want me to be, Lord? What is your plan for my life? Most people will move to a place and then they'll find a church. But God's called us to go where He goes, not just take him where we go. Amen. And see, so Christians have this idea. They've gotten to this place, and it's kind of popular in our society to try to conform God to our lives, when God said that we're to conform to His life. Amen. If we want the life of God, that is. If we want what God offers. I don't know about you, but I spent too long in stale churches. Amen? That weren't teaching the Word of God. That were, and I'm not saying that, you know, I'm just saying that this is where I was. In stale churches that didn't teach the Word of God. It didn't help me. I was still depressed. I was still broken. I was still defeated. I still couldn't do just the basic things in life. And why was that? Because I wasn't being taught the Word. The Word is what matters. Amen? Praise the Lord. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I use this example all the time, and I'll use it again. My precious little girl sitting here. Man, Lord changed my life with a little girl. Amen? Praise the Lord. He didn't do so good with the boys. No, I'm just kidding. He did a great job with the boys. We love the boys. But there's something precious about a little girl and a father. I don't love her more, but it seems like it sometimes, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. But you know something? When she comes up to me and she says, Daddy this or Daddy that, Daddy, this is what I really want. Do you know something? I do everything in my power to give it to her. Why? Because she's my precious little girl. That's crying out, Abba, Father. That's exactly what that is. See, she comes to me and she asks for me for things. Actually, one day she came to me. You know, we teach our kids to try to believe God for things. You know, use your faith towards something. If there's something you don't have that you want, but you want to get into or whatever, you know, you can use your faith towards it. And we teach them that. And we always call it believing God for something. And she even came to me one day and she said, Daddy, I'm really believing God for such and such. And I knew she was just saying that because she just wanted me, Daddy, to get it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said, you aren't believing God for nothing. You just want me to buy it for you. And she's like, well, yeah, you know. See, she knows, though. I think I might have even got it for her. I don't know. But you know, God wants to spoil us just like we want to spoil our children. Now, you know, there's a time when we got to back off. There's a time when it's not right. You know, if a kid is living like a moron, you don't give them everything they want. You know what I mean? When kids are doing stupid things, well, you don't just give them the tools to continue doing it. I've watched that happen, and then people wonder why the kid's life is falling apart. Well, you're doing it. You don't do it to your kids. You know what I mean? When your kids are living stupid, you let them live stupid until they come back. You know, the prodigal son, I love the story of the prodigal son. We all know about the prodigal son, right, in the Bible? The father didn't go chasing him, did he? He didn't drag him back. No, when he came back, he rejoiced. He loved on him when he came back, but when he was gone, he let him be. Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. Glory to God. God's teaching us some things, amen. Abba, Father, God wants to do it for us. He wrote it in his word. He wants to help us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I don't know about you, but I've talked to a lot of Christians, and they don't really, they may say that they're children of God, but they don't really show that they're children of God. Why? Because they don't come boldly. They don't talk about their God boldly. There's so many Christians that think that God's making them sick. Nowhere in the Bible will you see God making his children sick. Nowhere in the Bible will you see God. Actually, you won't really see God making anybody sick. We know that, well, praise God, I can get you stirred up here, but the truth is when you study the scriptures out, you find out that God doesn't cause sickness and disease. Actually, the Bible tells us in Acts 10:38 that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Now, God can't be the oppressor and the healer at the same time. He can't do it. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. It's the word. You just won't find it. You won't see God destroying his people. You will see God allowing his people to go down paths that he didn't want them to go down. And then they will eat the consequences of it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But it's not because God's just looking there to punish them. And how do we know this? Because like my wife said, God says that our love compared to his love is evil. Now, would you like, if your kid screws up, would you want to just throw them out into the street? Would you want to just give them to ravage wolves? Would you just set them outside the house when the weather's bad and say, here, go fend for yourself? You don't do that. Why don't you do that? Because you love your kids, amen? Well, if God loves us so much more, then how would his love be taking more away from us? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Spirit himself bears witness that with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, this is so important here. I'm going to say this, and I know that you're not even going to receive it as good, but you're going to, because I'm going to say it twice. Amen. And the second time, you'll be like, oh, hey, that's pretty good. And if children, then heirs. Heirs. He says heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. What is the suffering with him? There is nothing in here that says the suffering of God is sickness and disease, is there? There's nothing in here that says the suffering of God is poverty. What it says, if you keep it in context and you go back up there and look at it, it says that if you put to death the deeds of the flesh, that's the suffering, that's our cross, is when we tell our flesh no. When we say, you know what, this is what God's word says, that this ain't good for me, so I'm not going to go there. Yeah, I know we don't like to hear that in today's society. So many people are told, well, here, you just do what you want to do. You do what makes you feel good. Yeah. One time I wrote this, it was like a faith fix, but it was before we were writing faith fixes. But I was inspired to write this, and I used this quote. And basically the quote said, you just do whatever makes you feel good, because whatever you want to do, that's okay. And I put that down there, and I started talking about it, and I didn't put who the author of it was. And a lot of people, they're just like, that's the way a lot of people think. You just do what you do, man. You do what you like to do. You do what makes you feel good. You know who said that? It was Charles Manson. Oh, yeah, that was his advice to the people that he sent in to kill all those people. Well, praise the Lord. But that's that mindset. Listen, the guy ain't thinking godly and thinking doing bad things at the same time. Amen? So we understand this. God isn't a God that just says, you do whatever makes you. Sometimes the word needs to step on our toes. Sometimes the message needs to bring us up a little bit higher. Sometimes the message needs to make us feel like, wait a minute, you know what? I ain't got it all figured out. And that's okay. Because you know what? Every time I preach a message, you know what I think to myself? I say, self, you ain't got it all figured out. You don't know everything. As I preach the message, I'm like, ooh, I got to correct that myself. Hallelujah. Why? Because God will work on me too. See, the message is supposed to change us. The Bible does, Jesus never wanted to leave us the same. So many people, they think that salvation is just about getting saved and then they go on and live their life the same way they always did. No, he's called us out separate. He's called us to be new, to be recreated. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. So we understand this. If indeed we suffer with him, the suffering is in the flesh. If indeed, that doesn't mean you can't ever enjoy life. It doesn't mean you can't have things. Actually, when you get into the word, you find out something that God wants you to really enjoy life. God wants you to be blessed in this life. God wants you to have things that you want to have. God wants you to have a nice car and a nice house. God is all about that. You say, well, it doesn't talk about that in the Bible. Well, it talks a lot about that in the Bible, praise the Lord. Glory to God. It didn't talk about cars specifically. But then we just look at what heaven is. Look at the way God lives in heaven. Look at what the Bible says. He says, in my house there are many mansions. Yes. Praise the Lord. We're told that the streets of heaven are paved in pure gold, so pure that you can see through it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. That the gates of heaven are two giant pearls. You know, the value of heaven alone, just what they use in the construction materials, is quite outstanding. When God had the priests, when he had his people build the temple, he directed them specifically. They coated the walls in gold. God is not against nice things. I'm saying God is against covetousness. He doesn't want you to sit around thinking about what you can gain all the time. But God doesn't mind if you're doing the work of the Lord, if you're serving him, if you're after him. God doesn't mind if you're blessed. In fact, much more so, he gave us Jesus to be blessed. How do I know that? If you go down to verse 32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Did the Bible say that, or did Pastor Jeff say it? No, the Bible said that. That's what the Bible says, hallelujah. And we got tons of scriptures that show that. But that doesn't mean that when I'm not preaching some kind of weird prosperity message that says that, oh, you got to sit around thinking about how you can get rich all the time, because that isn't God either, amen? In fact, the more that you think about money, the less you're thinking about God, amen? I find that the more that I keep my eye on the Lord, he just brings things into my life. Things I need just appear, praise God, hallelujah. But this is all about following the Spirit, and that's exactly where that's at, amen? Turn with me to John 14, 15. Praise God, hallelujah. John 14, verse 15. Following the Spirit, being Spirit, let's see, the Spirit will, and we're going to see this, but the Spirit will lead us, he'll show us what's ours. He will show us what we inherit. You ain't got to sit there figuring it out. The Spirit's going to show us. He's going to say, hey, this is yours. Go get it. Amen? I'm not just talking about stuff. I'm talking about whatever. This is your wife. This is your husband. The Spirit will show you this. This is where I want you to live. This is where I want you to worship. This is how I want you to worship. Amen? Praise the Lord. But you know, the Spirit always, always, always operates in line with the Word. And this, again, is where people also miss it, because they start doing things that they want to do because it's what they feel in their flesh. They don't crucify their flesh. They just do what their flesh feels instead of matching up with. I saw some crazy YouTube video about these people worshiping. And they took this awful worldly song and they just changed one word in it. They changed it to Jesus. And I'm not going to go into what the song is because I don't want it in your head, but it was just stupid. And the whole thing, they're like the whole worship set, was all about, you know, glorifying the singing of the song and just putting Jesus in there. But listen, and I saw the arguments afterwards. Some people, oh, let them alone. You can worship any way you want. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that those who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. Well, truth is not just whatever willy-nilly thing you want to do today. The truth is the truth, and the truth don't change. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. John 14, 15. But see, so many people, they don't understand this. Like, well, I want to worship like this, or I want to worship like... I could step on some sacred cows, but for the sake of like wanting you to come back tonight, I'm just not going to do it. But praise the Lord, it's coming up, I'm going to do it. So you just keep coming back, and I'll start kicking those sacred cows right out of here. We're going to have a barbecue. We're going to have a sacred cow barbecue. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll cook them up real good. We'll wait till summertime. But you just keep coming back and you wait. We'll do it. We're gonna jump all over that. So I've seen some. So you get online, man, you get on the internet and you can find out just how goofy these people call themselves Christians really are. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I believe in the move of the Spirit. I've had God's Spirit come on me so strongly that I couldn't stand up. In fact, I've had God's Spirit come on me so strongly that I flipped over, landed on the concrete, and sizzled on the floor like bacon, and never had a brush burn, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. I know the power of God. I know the presence of God. I've had the Lord move on me in amazing, wonderful ways, and it's great and wonderful. But I'm going to tell you something else. God also was a God of order. And so God does things in order. He doesn't do things in chaotically and all out, you know, mishandled and out of hand, praise the Lord. God does things according to a plan and a purpose because God is God and that's what he does. Amen. Praise the Lord. John 14, 15. Praise God. I got to find it here too. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. That's a pretty big statement right there. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I tell you to do. Do the things the way I told you to do them, when I told you to do them, how I told him to do. If you really love me, that's what you'll do. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This other helper, you know, Jesus made such a stink about this here. He made such a big deal about this. He said this helper, a couple chapters in John are devoted to the Holy Spirit. He said this helper is coming. This guy is, I'm sending him. I have to go so he can come. It's important that I go so he does come. And he's going to do things. We're going to call him the helper. We're going to call him the teacher. But you, like, ask a lot of Christians, they don't know what the Holy Spirit even does. They don't have any idea what this Holy Spirit... In fact, if you talk about the Spirit in a lot of Christian circles, they start wanting, you know, well, I don't know, maybe we're going to put you in the back room. We need to get you out of here because we don't talk about all that stuff here. See, we have to be well acquainted with what Jesus gave us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you for 2 or 3 weeks or a couple months or until the Bible's written, and then he's leaving and he ain't coming back no more. Ain't that what the Bible says? Glory to God. It don't say that at all. It says he's going to abide with you forever. Hallelujah. Well, he wasn't just talking to them. He was talking to all of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. He will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. This is what he's called, the Spirit of truth. He's the truth-telling spirit. He's the one who will guide you in the truth. What's the truth? It's the Word of God. That's the truth. It's always the truth. It's always going to be the truth. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Notice, so it's, and then it goes on to say, verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So God didn't leave us without anything. See, this is where so many people, they just fail because they don't realize that God didn't just leave them behind. God didn't just leave you without. He didn't leave us. He didn't come do all these things for the prophets and do all these amazing miracles and lead the children of Israel out of their land of bondage and into the promised land and split the Red Sea and had a one of his prophets in the belly of a whale or a fish and had him spit out. And he went and all these other things. He didn't build an ark. And this other guy built an ark and put all kinds of animals on it. Praise the Lord. Floated around in the water for a bunch of repopulated the earth and all this stuff. God didn't do all this stuff just then and then have his Messiah come. His Messiah to come show us how to live. And when he came, man, he walked on water, glory to God. And he didn't just walk on water, but he healed the sick. He laid hands on people. The blind started seeing. The deaf started hearing. The dead started raising. Hallelujah. He didn't just do all this stuff and say, no, I'm going to leave you with the helper. But guess what? You're just going to be your stale Christians in your stale churches, and you're never going to know the power of God. You're never going to do this stuff. You're never going to walk in anything else because, you know, this stuff is all going to pass away. That's not what the Bible says at all. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's not going to leave us alone. He's going to come to us. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth who the world cannot receive. Cannot receive. If you've come to the church yet require it to make sense according to the world, you are never going to know God and never find his peace. The church is not supposed to look like the world. And the more that the church looks like the world, the less it's going to look like God. Why? Because the world can't receive the things of God. The world doesn't understand the things of God. When you talk about programs and build, there's churches that are built around, they hire outside entertainment groups that aren't even Christian to come in and build up this way to so they can have a church that reaches people or a church that grows. Because they just care about the numbers. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. I've heard of churches, hundreds of people that can't even support a pastor. I'm talking about a full-time pastor that can't even hire a pastor because if there's something, they're not being taught about tithing and giving. They're not, and when they're not being taught about that, they're not being taught about increase in their life. And if they're not taught about increase in their life, then they can't promote the gospel. And all they do is they sit around in their stale churches doing the things that they've always done because it's just another entertainment thing. It's just another group, another social club is all it becomes. God has marked his church to look different. He did it from the beginning of time. He did it all through Scripture. And just because we don't have Scripture that's specifically written today, does not mean God didn't leave us orphans. He left us with his power. In fact, he told his disciples that you follow the power. You go to Jerusalem and you wait for the power. And when that power comes on you, then you go out into the world and do what you're supposed to do. Hallelujah. See, God's got good things for us. But if we don't know his word, we won't know that. If we're not led by his spirit, we won't know that. And we can't be led by his spirit if everything we always do is to tickle the flesh. Because, oh, it feels good. This is what feels good. So this must be of God. Well, the devil does things that make you feel good too. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that sin is enjoyable for a time. Yeah, you can go out and live in sin and be enjoyment for a time, but it's going to bite you. Amen? Praise the Lord. When I was doing drugs, I liked doing drugs. I didn't not do them because they didn't feel good. Yeah, I liked the way that it made me feel. I liked being high. I also didn't like the effects of it afterwards. I like the things that it was doing. I didn't like that it was killing me. I didn't like when I was 28 years old and I could barely walk a flight of stairs. I didn't like those types of things. So I got out of it. I don't try to justify it. I got out of it. Amen? And I got out of it through the word. Praise the Lord. Flip, you're in John 14, 18. Now flip down to 23. Praise God. We'll read through verse 27. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He will keep my word. Listen, this is not talking about being perfect, but this is talking about making it your goal to keep God's word. What's your desire? We teach our kids, you keep God's word. You don't just do what you want to do. You find out what God wants you to do. Keep his word. Because when you do that, then they make their home with you. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Yeah. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, here we go again with that Helper, that Holy Spirit business, hallelujah, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Yeah. And then what's it say in verse 27? This is so awesome. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's Spirit brings peace. If you don't have peace in your life, then you're not following God's Spirit. You need to find out how. So, you know, I had a minister say once, and this was life-changing to me, but they said, you need to learn how God speaks to you. You need to learn, because God will speak to us differently. It will always line up with the Word. You will always be able to find it in the Word. But to hear God's voice, he will customize it toward you. Amen? Praise the Lord. But he will lead you and he will guide you. And he's going to lead you into peace always, because that's what God has for us. He doesn't give it not as the world gives. The world doesn't know what peace is. This is why people who try to build a church based on worldly standards are never successful. You could have a lot of people at the church. That does not measure. You cannot measure the success of a church by the number of people. Because I'm going to tell you what. If that's the truth, then you could say that Walmart's one of the biggest churches in the world. Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Now, are you going to model yourself after everybody goes into Walmart? The majority of people that go into Walmart. I have no problem with Walmart, the people in it. But I'm just telling you right now that I know for a fact that not everybody in Walmart is living for God and living in God's best. Amen. Yeah, and pick anywhere else for that matter. Oh man, we like to go to when we get a chance, we like to go to cities and stuff like that. We were in New York City on our anniversary, our 10-year anniversary a few years ago, and we were walking around, you know, and there was a lot of stuff in New York City, a lot of people in New York City. They'd be the biggest church in the world for all, you know what I mean? And there wasn't a lot of good things there though. You know, there was a lot of times where my wife had to say, hey, don't look in this direction, look in this direction, because then this direction can cause you to stumble, amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, you got to be careful, because they had women on the street down in Times Square, women that were painted. That was it. They were painted. That's what they were wearing. They were wearing paint. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's pretty form-fitting, don't you think? Yeah. Glory to God. It's not good, amen? But see, there's lots of stuff like that. We've been around, you know, just because there's lots of people there doesn't make it good, doesn't mean it's successful. And it's not scripturally successful. A big church with lots of people does not equate to success. A small group in the plan of God, plan and will of God, is wholly successful. That's a great example. Now, I'm not saying churches that are big can't be successful. Of course they can. But I'm just saying that we can't measure success by the size. What we can measure by what's happening in people's lives. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. So you know that the children of God are progressing because of the fruit that they produce. If you're a child of God, if you've been a Christian for 5, 10 years, and you're no different than you were when you came in, something's wrong. Something's wrong. You need to get fertilized. You need to get growing, because Jesus said that every branch in me that doesn't produce fruit, he cuts off and throws into the fire. That's what Jesus said. So we better be producing fruit. We better look differently. Amen? Praise the Lord. Has anyone got a job and hope that they never get a raise? Yeah, have you ever done that? We were talking about this morning. I remember a job I got hired on the farm. It was the most money I had ever made. Praise the Lord. $5.50 an hour. Glory to God. Now they're talking about $15 an hour minimum wage. Back then you couldn't even fathom something like that. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. I'm glad, though, that my pay has gone up for more than $5. Well, maybe. No, that's a joke. Praise the Lord. But I'm glad that it's gone up more than $5 an hour. I'm glad that as time goes on, that we can make more, that we can have more to look for. Is there anyone else in that boat, or am I the only one? Praise the Lord. I know that's a pretty bold thing for a preacher to say, but seriously, like we gotta. The Bible says that those who thresh in hope. When we do something, we have to expect that when we're 70, we'd be better off than when we were 20. Praise the Lord. That's why I don't care about going back to my 20s. I want to head towards my 70s. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love it. Amen. God's good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, where are we at? I'm just trying to figure out, get my bearings here, because I was talking a lot. James, turn with me to James 1. We're getting close to closing here. Praise God. Hallelujah. James 1. Well, kind of close anyways. We're heading that way, right? We're closer than when we started. Amen? It's always better to be closer than when you started. But when we get the feeding of the Word, when we let the Word come in and change us, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing it does. I just love what God has done in me over the years. I was a person that couldn't even stand in front of a group of people before. Praise the Lord. Now I look forward to getting in front of people and preaching the Word. Amen. When we first went out, I was scared to death of it. I mean, to death I was scared. Amen. You don't understand. After our first service pastoring, we went home begging God to never let us have to do that again. Please, Lord, don't make this be what I have to do the rest of my life. I want to be in your plan, because I know not being in your plan is death. But listen, if I got to choose between, I might pick death. So don't press me on this, God. Hallelujah. But see, God knew that there were some things coming. He knew that he was going to work. See, sometimes it's hard on the flesh. It's crucifying the flesh, friends. You say that 10 times fast. See, if you can say it, don't judge me. Hallelujah. It's crucifying the flesh, friends. Hallelujah. Got it out. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. James 1:5. The word is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Only the guys, though. Because it says him. No, because this is only written to guys. That's how we have to. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. No, that you know, it's talking about mankind. Hallelujah. It applies to women, too. Actually, it probably applies more to women, because I'm sure that God loves them more. Amen. How do I know that? Because I love them more. You're not all women, but you know what I mean. Praise the Lord. I praise God. Hallelujah. That came out wrong, but you know what? Glory to God. I dig myself. Well, praise God. Help me with this. Yeah, I'm just going to stop. Thank you. Praise God. See, that's why I bring her along, because she puts me on the right path. I don't love women. You know, I'm not just out there, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I like my woman. I like the one that Lord... Praise God. Hallelujah. I like the little one that God gave me, too. She's pretty precious. And I love the boys, but I just certainly don't treat them as well. Glory to God. Well, I do, but in different ways. I treat them like guys got to be treated. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. If any of you lacks wisdom, that's wisdom to know that, by the way. Treat women precious, guys. I'm going to tell you right now. Praise the Lord. Because if you understood the way that, you know, what a dupe of the devil to get churches to look down on women. Look down on women preachers. Oh, you can't have that. See, all that stuff is lies. It's stuff taken out of context. Yeah, it's never based in any truth. You know that. Well, maybe you don't know that, but it's the truth. There's a whole bunch of scriptures about how women were used to lead men all through scripture. And so to say that God, that women can't lead men, obviously is not God's will. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. I'm glad that excited you, women. That'd be a good place to say amen. Hallelujah. See, God loves you a lot. God is a very purposeful in placing. But see, Satan hates you because you produce more of us. Amen. Because without you, we wouldn't be very far, would we? Amen. God uses you to produce more of us, and Satan hates us. And so he hates you even more. And that's why he always attacks you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Amen. I want to see if I can. I'm gonna need my phone back, because that's. How am I gonna do that? It's recording. Let's see here. I want to look this. I want to show you this in the Amplified. Yeah. Because you need to see this in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. Okay. Verse 5 in the Amplified. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given to him. The giving God who gives. When was the last time you looked at your Heavenly Father as the giving God? When was the last time you looked at him as the one who wants to bless you? You know, I can't stand it. I'll bring this up again. This will be a little sacred cow we'll bring out there. But, you know, there's a lot of Christian songs out there that sing things, some of them not so good. There's Christian songs that say things like, the Lord gives and takes away. That's not our God. That's not the God of the Bible. That's misquoted scripture is what that is. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the God who gives and takes away. Do you know that? That is quoted one time. It's one time and found in the Bible. That is in the beginning of the book of Job. And then by the time you get to the end of Job, Job is repenting for all the foolish things he said. Yeah. See, there's other things that the Bible says that you aren't necessarily going to base your life around, in the sense that it was telling something historical or something. You know, I think there's one place in the Bible, in the Psalms, that talks about having a rash. Well, I certainly ain't going to go around talking about how I want a rash. You know what I'm saying? You see, we have to judge things. We have to understand things. But see, people run with this stuff. They say, well, the Lord gives and takes away, but you won't see that in Scripture. He gave us Jesus. Romans 8:32. I could give you a dozen scriptures. And this is the thing about this. If you're religious-minded, you won't let go of that. Because I can give you dozens of scriptures where the Bible says that God wants to bless you, that he wants to increase you, that he wants to have more, that it's the devil that removes from people. It's the lies of the devil that lead people into loss, into destruction, not God. Praise the Lord. God's always the one that was trying to bless from Genesis all the way through. All the way through. He's always trying to bless his people. He's always trying to help his people. And yet they sit there and sing stupid songs like the Lord gives and takes away. The Lord doesn't give and take away. That's not your God. Not if you believe this God, that's the devil. Yeah. Another thing they think, a lot of Christians think, is they like to, God is the builder and the wrecking ball. That's another one. God isn't the builder and the wrecking ball. You can praise God in the storm, that's good, but when we praise God in the storm, it's because the idea that we know on the other side of the storm, we're getting out, because Jesus never went through a storm that he didn't get through on the other side. In fact, even the greatest storm in his life, when he hung on the cross, he said that I do it because I do it and not because anybody else can make me do it. Hallelujah. And he said that we have to have that mind in us because we have the mind of Christ. So you're going to look at a storm and say, well, my God can't. Jesus said, when you're facing a mountain, you look at the mountain, you say, move, get out of the way, because you're in my way. You can't be there anymore. He said that in Mark 11:23, and yet people still think that God wants to take away from them. Jesus said, move the mountains. They said, when you put mountains in front of me, that you won't move. These are Christian songs. You probably heard them. When you put mountains in front of me, that you won't move, or that won't move. Jesus said, you move the mountain. He didn't say anything about God moving the mountain. He said, you speak to it and move it. Praise the Lord. Well, you stick around longer, you'll get a bunch of this kind of scripture. We'll go to the scriptures and show you. We'll peel the word apart. We'll tell you exactly. Everybody, this 23rd Psalm. Does anyone know that Psalm? Is anyone familiar with that? Praise the Lord. What does it say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. We cross-stitch that on doilies. We put that on pillows. We make it posters. Hallelujah. We put it all over the place. Everybody's memorized this. Everybody knows the scripture. The Lord, it starts off, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who guides me. He's the one who leads me beside still waters and into green pastures. If you didn't know, that's good stuff. It's not removing from you. It's not tearing you apart. He's not trying to, God isn't, like, he didn't care. He doesn't want your house to burn down. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I can't, how much can I get into tonight? Because I don't want to push it too far, amen. But there's a lot of stuff like this. Do you know that God does not cause death? The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. The Bible says that death is the last enemy. You can't, and Jesus told us that you can't be an enemy and be a friend at the same time. Nowhere in Scripture will you see that God causes death. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I can't. I feel like I'm getting in deep out of here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just got in another hole. Yeah. Whew. Praise the Lord. But it's good. See, God loves us. He wants us. And listen, I'm not saying these people are bad that sing these songs. I'm saying they're not taught. We need to be taught right. We need to get the Word in us. And when the Word says something, I don't care what you want to say in your religious circles. I don't care what sounds good that you can that you can memorize all this stuff. I don't care about any of that stuff. I care about what the Word says and how it teaches me the truth. Do you know that the Bible tells us in Hebrews to look back at Job, at the end of Job, and see the end that was intended by the Lord? Praise the Lord. Can you look up that scripture for me just so they know I'm not a liar? To look at the end of Job, to see what God intended for him. When you look at the end of Job, do you know what God intended for him? He doubled everything. That's what God intended for him. But there's a lot of things you got to understand. Well, we're not preaching about Job, but we are preaching about being led. And see, being led will teach you these things. Being led will take you out of that snarf, that stinking thinking. Hallelujah. We'll brainwash you yet. Amen? James 1:5, I think that's where we were. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Do you find it? James, I'm sorry, yeah. What? 5:11. James, let me flip there real quick. We'll go back to this because I got this marked down. James 5:11. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Praise the Lord. The end intended by God. Again, that around the third chapter that the Lord gives and takes away, that's where that scripture is found. Praise God. And in the end, 40-something towards there, or 38 to 40, somewhere in there, you'll see where Job actually repents. He said, I spoke words without knowledge. Amen. Praise God. He gives all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man, which man? The one that doubts, suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If you doubt God, you cannot receive from God. Yeah, you can't receive. That's what the Bible says. It says the same thing in Mark 11:23-24. It says the same exact thing. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the thing will be established, right? It tells us that you can't receive anything. You're an unstable man, all his ways, double-minded and unstable. Praise the Lord. That's not what God wants for us. God wants us to be sure of where we're going. How are we going to be sure? How are you going to know? Well, if you know the Spirit, you're going to be sure. When you know God's Spirit, when you know what He wants to, where He wants to take you, when you have an idea that God wants to do something good in you. But see, that's the other thing. If you think God's going to take away, then you're not going to do near as much as what He has asked you to do, because you're just looking for it to be lost. Okay, we're getting ready to close. This is the last scripture, John 16:13. This scripture, I've known this scripture so well, read it 1,000 times. But 2 weeks ago, this scripture was reminded to me. Somebody spoke it to me, one of my mentors, and I'm going to tell you what, it absolutely changed my life in that instant. John 16:13. Praise God. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell or show you things to come. The Spirit of truth, He's going to guide us into all truth. This is what the Spirit does. He wants to guide us into all truth. But what do we know about being guided? Guided is not being pushed. Guided is not being made to do anything. Guided is, here, I'm going to guide you. I said this before. I was on a bear hunt, and we had a guide, and he took me to, I didn't know the place where I was going. So I wouldn't know where the bears were. I didn't know where, he didn't know either, but praise God. But, you know, I didn't know where I was going. That's why we paid a guide. And that guide, he put me in a stand and made me sit there all day long, all night long, for hours and hours and hours. I didn't like that. About the third day in the stand, I said to myself, self, you paid to be here. You paid good money to be here. Yeah, I'm sitting there and I'm like miserable in the stand. So I call up the guide, old John. I call up John. I say, hey, John. I said, I'm all done. I want to come out of the stand. He said, oh, no, boy, this is the best time. The best time to be in. I said, I don't care. I'm done. I want to get out. I said, there are no bear in these woods. I don't believe it one bit. And I want to get out. I'm done being in the stand. He wasn't real happy with me. But you know what? I paid for it. I decided that I wanted to be doing it. Well, guess what? I certainly wasn't catching a bear going out of the woods or shooting a bear or whatever. I wasn't going to get one going out of the woods, right? Why? Because I wasn't obeying the guide. Well, the same thing is with God. If we don't go where the guide's taking us, if we don't follow the guide into the blessing, then how are we going to walk in the blessing? God intended the blessing all along, but just because he intended it doesn't mean, the Bible tells us he wants all men, that he desires that all men should come to repentance. And yet we know that they won't. Why? Because not everybody's going to follow the guide. Not everybody's going to be led, amen? Not everybody's going to go in the direction that he's going to go. But he will not speak on his own authority. What he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things that show, or show you things that come. Really, that word tell in the Greek is show. He will show you things that come. Praise God. He will glorify me, for he will take, I'm going into the next verse. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. See, this is the thing. If you're joint heirs with Christ, and this is right back to where we come full circle. If you're joint heirs with Christ, the Spirit is going to lead us. He's going to show you what belongs to you. Amen? Amen? You know, when somebody passes away, people don't always know if they're going to get an inheritance or not. Sometimes people are quite surprised by inheritance, and sometimes they're quite surprised with what they don't get. Yeah. Amen? But what happens? The lawyer sits down with them. He shows them things to come. He shows them what they're going to have, right? And those people at that time, they know whether they're going to make it rich or if they're going to have to take out a loan, amen? They know what's going to have to happen. See, that's the same, but God isn't going to make you have to take out a loan. See, God is leading us into all truth. He's leading us into his blessing. He wants to show us what we receive. You know, he said, Jesus said that whatever, we read that earlier, remember? Whatever was the Father's is his, and whatever his is ours. He said that, amen? Well, God said that the gold is mine, the silver is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. He said the earth is his and the fullness thereof. Praise the Lord. Does that mean that you could just go out and claim anything you want? Not necessarily. You let the Spirit show you what's yours. He show you what part you inherit. He'll show you what part you get to walk in. He shows you what part you get to partake of. Amen. And that part, I'm going to tell you this right now, that part is always connected to his plan and furthering his gospel. If it's not furthering his gospel, it's not of God. Because God's number one thing is to get people saved, get them born again, and get them into the kingdom of God, and then get them living a life after God. That's his number one desire for humanity. So if somebody is prospering and they're not promoting the gospel, then something's off. Something's amiss. Because God did not just intend you to sit there and hold up hordes of gold and silver for yourself and never do anything with the gospel. Amen? The Spirit will always lead us into the direction that God has taken us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your truth will set us free. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, that he's guided me even this day. Lord, even this hour, he's guided me and showed me things to do, showed me things to come. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord, I pray for these people, these people that sat here tonight, these precious people of yours that I get to minister in front of, Lord. Love every single one of them. I do with all my heart. And I'm going to tell you that God is going to direct you. He's going to guide you. He's going to show you. Because God always confirms his word. Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm speaking to you prophetically right now. There'll be opportunity even this week. The Lord is going to lead you into. He's going to show you to do this, or he's going to show you to do that. And it might be small, and you might think it's nothing. But don't think that small. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't think that the small things aren't worthy. Understand that God is going to start little, and as you're faithful with little, he'll give you much. So as you follow him with the little things, he's going to show you. He's going to show you someone to reach. He's going to show you somebody to help. He's going to show you somebody to bless. Maybe it's just with a word. But he's going to show you. And as you follow him, as you learn to follow him, you'll get more acquainted with his voice. Praise the Lord. This is coming out of my spirit, and I believe this with all my heart. That you're going to hear, you're going to start to understand His voice. You're going to know His voice, and it's going to be easier for you to follow. And then it'll be easier for you to walk. And as you walk, it'll be easier for you to go. And you'll see that the trials, they won't stand like they did before. You'll see that the opposition, it can't stand like it did before. Because the devil will put something in your way and you'll walk around it because the Spirit will take you that way. And He'll take you into the direction you need to go because that's what the Spirit does. And everything that the devil throws at you will fall by the wayside because though he thought he was putting it in your path, the Lord will redirect your path. The Spirit will take you down the right road. He'll take you down the right path. Praise the Lord. And there'll be fullness, it'll be His grace, there'll be His ability, and you're going to smile and you're going to say, my, I didn't realize that it was so good here. I didn't realize that God was this good. I pinch myself all the time and I say, God, I didn't realize You were this good. And you'll be doing the same. Lord, I didn't realize. I didn't realize. Lord, I read Your word, but I didn't realize. I spent time in Your word, but Lord, I didn't realize. Because He's going to reveal things to your spirit that He didn't show Him anybody else. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we praise You. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your direction. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for all that You're doing, Lord. Lord, we believe You for great and wonderful things. I thank You, Lord, for the people that come here, the people that are connected here, the people that You will continue to connect here. Father, we pray that they be blessed in Your going. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. I got to do this real quick because it's very important. But we do this at the end of every service. I just want to make sure that everybody by the sound of my voice is saved. If you've received Jesus and you know it, go ahead and just throw your hand up in the air. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think I see everybody's hand. Now, if you don't know Jesus, if you never received Him as your personal Lord and Savior and you'd like to, it's real easy. We pray a prayer together. We'll all pray it together. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to point at you and make fun of you. But if that's you, if you want to receive Jesus and you never have, go ahead and throw your hand up real quick. Praise the Lord. Thank You for that hand. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Is there any other hands? Glory to God. I want to give one more opportunity. Maybe there's somebody here who has received Jesus, but you walked away. And I don't mean you made a few mistakes, but I mean you completely walked away from God and you want to come back to Him. God will take you back and He'll start you on that new course today. So if that's you, go ahead and raise your hand real quick. I'll have you put it right back down. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't see any hands. Father, we did have one hand. I'm just going to pray. We're going to pray this together. I ask everybody in the congregation to just repeat after me. And if you raise your hand, go ahead and just say this and mean it with your heart. And God will save you and be right there in heaven with Him when it's time. Amen? So everybody just repeat this after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, that Jesus died for me so that I could be saved. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, glory to God. We made it through another one, church. Praise God. God is good. He wants you blessed. He wants you blessed more than you even can think about being blessed. And He will bless you if you keep following Him. So just keep serving God. Keep shooting for Him. Amen. And He's going to lead you into all the things that He has for you. Amen.